Welcome to Cheese, Wine, and Christmas, the magical podcast that will help you navigate the crowded world of sentimental holiday specials. Join hosts Brendan Bowes and Deirdre McCarthy as they discuss, critique, and lay bare your favorite Christmas movie tropes. So spike that eggnog and get ready for today's Cheese, Wine, and Christmas.
Okay, so Cheese, Wine, and Christmas is doing something for the first time again.
Yay, and our very first sequel.
Yes, so we have a sequel this week. So for those of you who saw the or listened to the first one, it was called
California Christmas.
And the sequel is called
California Christmas - City Lights.
Very nice. Very nice. Just in case, right?
Right.
So when we last left our city boy and country girl, they were getting all hot and heavy, Callie and Joseph, at the farm. And it looked like maybe he was going to leave behind his city ways and hang out with her and turn her land into a winery. And everything was going to be awesome.
Yeah, we start off. Yeah. Everything is going dreamlike.
Well, except the mom is dying. So, yeah.
The mom has passed.
Well, she passed in the second one, but she was still dying in the first one.
Right. Well, yeah. Between the first one and the second one, she passed. And
yeah. So we start the second one. Mom's dead. Manny, who is the guy that Joseph pretended to be in the first one, is like just doing a great job working there, being awesome.
He's like the property director.
Basically second
in charge.
It's all good. And the little sister, Hannah, is happy, loves Joseph, loves her sister, Callie. All is good. We meet a new person named Brandy.
Oh, right? Yes. Brandy is Callie's best friend.
Right. And she comes into the scene and she's studying to be a vet. So she's got to get some hours under her belt. So she's going to be hanging out with them.
Coincidentally, a lot of the females recently are vets or becoming vets.
Yes. We're having a new trope of girls as vets. So we're all super happy. And in the midst of that happiness, Joseph asks Callie to marry him. Woohoo! Yay. Everybody's super happy, except Leo's a little concerned. He's happy, but he's concerned.
Yep.
Because some other shit is happening back in the city at the company. So if you remember, the company is run by his mom. Mm-hmm. Right.
The Van Aston company or business, something like that.
Yeah. So mom is fully in charge because dad is dead and mom is all business and has made lots of money. However, she has been inspired by Callie and Joseph's like follow their hearts love story. So she is gone. She's in the islands with a boy toy.
She up and leaves, falls in love with a yoga instructor, I think it was.
Yeah, and she left her second in charge, Victoria, running things, and it's not going well. And so Leo has got the bad news that Joseph has got to go back home and fix shit.
Right. The board voted in Victoria to be in charge.
Temporary.
And there's the big gala.
Yes, their yearly gala where they spend millions of dollars to make millions of dollars.
It's basically their Black Friday. It's, I guess, I mean, assuming that's when the company goes into black annually. And things are looking grim for the gala.
Yeah, because Victoria has fucked shit up.
Because a lot of the vendors trusted the mom.
Yeah,
they had personal relationships with the mom, and once she left and left the business to Victoria, they were backing out. They were dropping and like
she's
flies.
Not a people person, so she is ruining sort of all their relationships. So in comes Joseph to save the day. He brings with him Callie because he wants Callie to see his other side of life. It's been a year. They've been a year there where he's done nothing for the company. And now they go to San Francisco and she gets to see just how much money he has and meet sort of all of his friends and the clients and all of that. And right away, we get the feeling that Victoria is not happy and does not like Callie and maybe
also,
has a thing for Joseph.
Yeah, well, also immediately, as soon as they check into the hotel, Joseph meets, I guess, some of his former flings, who immediately start
hitting on him. We definitely see that he was a ladies' man, and possibly he was dating these three women simultaneously, having, like, foursome sex with them is what's implied.
But Callie, should, you know, it's they tell her, they tell these ladies that Callie is his fiance, and they're all oohing and aahing over the engagement ring before they head off without one more flirt and, hey, give me a call.
Right. And they invite her to join in, too. So they're all on board with that. So, yeah. Okay. So we have a little series, a thread that goes through this, which is all about the times that Joseph doesn't tell her the truth.
Yes.
Or she finds out something from somebody else first, usually Victoria, because Victoria is trying to break them up. So she likes to lay it out when she knows that Joseph hasn't been honest. So the first thing is that Joseph has already, well, actually his mom did, already rented the most expensive room in the function room in the hotel and planned their wedding for Christmas Eve.
Correct. And that's dropped upon Callie suddenly as...
The Roosevelt room, which apparently nobody can get, but they have, but he hasn't asked her opinion on that at all.
Correct. It's all but assumed that Callie is going to go along with everything. Yeah. And she reluctantly, well, I don't know.
She tries. Yeah. He shows her the beautiful room, tries. She goes to a party and meets all of his friends because she's trying.
Yep.
Some of them are better than others.
Yep. I mean, it's an eclectic group of people. You meet everyone.
A lot of dropping of stuff about what a bad boy he was and making her uncomfortable.
We meet Joseph's former college roommate, who is still a total frat bro, to use the stereotype, immediately just starts dropping the knowledge that Joseph was a total bachelor and sleeping around.
Like ran through every girl on campus, basically. Right. And earning him the nickname Forrest Gump, Run Forrest Run, because he ran through them and then ran away from them. So
correct.
Yeah.
He can't even remember his own girl, his own date's name, nor can he remember Callie's name. And
he's very disgusting, and he's a peek at what maybe Joseph used to be. So also Callie at this party. We very oddly meet Owen.
Oh, now, yes.
Owen happens to be somebody who works for Joseph, but coincidentally is the brother of Callie's fiance that died in a fiery car crash.
Liam. Yep.
Yeah, so, Liam. So very strange connection.
Yep.
Owen works for this super rich company, but also runs a soup kitchen because he's a super nice guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anything you want to add about Owen or the party?
No, like I said, it's an eclectic group of people. Everyone's in suits. Everyone is, for lack of a better term, hoity-toity, to really drive in the point that Joseph is a changed man now that he met Callie.
Right. And Victoria is trying to sabotage left and right. She left her a dress that she looked ridiculous in because it had big poofy sleeves.
Correct.
And Callie was not falling for that. She ripped the sleeves off and all of the flounce and ended up with a beautiful, sleek black dress that rivaled Victoria's red dress. And Victoria was foiled temporarily.
Pretty much.
Not for long. So she just keeps trying to ruin things. So, in the meantime, we find out that the company's losing clients left and right because without the mom, nobody gives a crap. So Joseph asks Callie for help, and her suggestion is that they call each and every vendor personally, ask them for their business, wish them a Merry Christmas, schmooze with them,
personal connection.
Right. Victoria thinks that's nonsense because she hates people. But they embark on it and they get really busy between that and planning the wedding. She's now decided she's okay with on Christmas Eve, dress shopping and all of that. She neglects everybody at home. So what's happening at home? Her little sister is falling and getting stitches and having a rough time and missing her and trying to reach out, not having her calls returned. And Manny and Brandy have a mutual love of video games and end up having sex and becoming a couple. So lots happening back back home
in the most bizarre. Yeah. Like I'm a gamer and that was just incredibly
awkward. And so that's all happening at home and she's too busy helping him with his business to even know. So her little sister's pissed. Meanwhile, Victoria is continuing to try to screw things up. So she's following her and Callie goes to visit Owen at the
not going to visit, accidentally finds him
at the shelter because there's a sick donkey. She can help because comes from a farm. So
she walks by the shelter, hears a goat crying while walking outside, goes in and realizes that the donkey is being fed incorrectly. And lo and behold, Owen is there and they talk a little bit about why the donkey's crying and she fixes him right up.
Solves the problem. Yep. Too much alfalfa.
And so, just in time to learn that the shelter is putting on a performance that rivals the likes of Jesus H. Christ.
Right. It's another Christmas pageant.
Right.
For some reason, they had the money to hire a professional Mary, but he's the Joseph and all of the other kids are volunteers and they have multiple shows, lots and lots of shows.
Yeah. Like
for the homeless people, for the community, for everybody. I guess it raises money. There never seems to be very many people watching, but they do it over and over again. Victoria pays off the professional Mary to leave in the middle of her performance so that Callie has to take over.
Yep. And you can tell that she's a professional actress because she smokes cigarettes and is disinterested from.
Right. It was a very typical, way taller than Owen and all of that. So Callie, of course, saves the day. And Victoria gets a picture of Callie and Owen together in the play, but it looks like they're having a romantic moment.
Correct. They touch
heads. And she's going to, she's going to keep that in her back pocket. She then tells, now Callie's already mad at Joseph because she can't figure out like what happened to her farm boy Joseph because she's a little turned off by the amount of things Joseph doesn't tell her, like about the wedding and what was the other thing that he didn't tell her?
Well, Joseph
before the engagement thing, there was something else he didn't tell her that they were asking him to take over.
Yes,
that they were. Yes, that was the second thing. So the mom's decided she's never coming back and they want him to take over the company. He's got to sign this contract and he didn't tell her and she finds out. And now at this point, she's doing the whole thing at the soup kitchen. She's kind of pissed at Joseph.
Correct.
Right. So Victoria puts the frosting on the shit cake by telling her that she used to be engaged to Joseph and implying or actually lying and saying that the ring she's wearing was her engagement ring first.
Right. And kept on dropping enjoy your secondhand ring.
Right. Even though it turns out later that is not the case. So in the meantime, Callie has figured out that her sister's been calling her and she hasn't been answering. So she races home. She's like had enough of all of this nonsense. And she's back in her element. Finds out that Brandy and Manny are dating, gets forgiven by her, sister.
But she doesn't tell the sister that she has been considering not marrying Joseph or has already done
right,
so.
Right. And I found it interesting all through this movie. There's a lot of like letting go of shit that would be really big shit in other Christmas movies. Like she really tolerates a lot before she's done.
Right. I made a note. Callie accepted a lot before.
Even before she went storming off.
Right. I mean, she's gone through shit in her life and she could have and probably should have let go earlier, but she stuck with it and I guess it's going to pay off, but I don't know. And then she
visualizes her dead mom and she's looking at her wedding dress that she was going to wear. That was her mom's. And basically, here's her mom saying that she should forgive and that she tells this great story about, have an empty backpack and you fill it through your life. And sometimes you don't know what's in your partner's backpack till you've already married them. And you got to be ready to accept it all. Basically an unconditional love, compromise, forgiveness.
Not that whole monologue gave me goosebumps.
I know. So I thought it was really good, actually. I thought it was really good advice.
Probably the my favorite part of the movie altogether was the mother's ghost speech about the backpacks.
Yeah. I was like, I'm totally stealing that. I'm definitely going to tell that story at some point.
For sure.
So, so she's ready to forgive him. In the meantime, he has a conversation with his mom where his mom's like, hey, you know, I'm doing what I want because I was inspired by you. You should do what you want. And he changes the whole face of his company, blah, blah, blah. He's going to give lots of money to charity, keep the soup kitchen going. And
right. So, did we touch base that?
We didn't, but he funded the soup kitchen. Then he wasn't going to fund the soup kitchen. Now he's going to fund it again. Yep. And he basically shits the whole gala apart and sends them all to the homeless shelter for their festive thing.
Yeah, the directors or whatever they're called.
The board. The board
of directors storm into the gala that's been canceled and or what's going on. And Joseph explains what's going on. And you could tell that they're becoming more not so much warm to the idea, but understanding of the change.
Well, they see her giving like shoes to a poor kid who didn't have any shoes. And they sort of see how it all comes together and they get their hearts warmed. And the next thing you know, Joseph and Callie are forgiving each other and planning their wedding, but they've already lost the fancy venue. So they're going to get married on the property in the winery. Meantime, they've decided that it's okay to sell some land to Manny. So he and Brandy can live happily ever after on their land. And everybody's like just friggin' happy as shit.
Correct. So the two big notes that I had. Why did Callie deflect the fucking questions about Joseph from her sister? Because she did it twice. The first time when she was giving her dinner in her room, and that was understandable because they were just reconnecting. And then the sister Hannah asks, are you marrying Joseph still? And Callie just answers a totally different question. Like, I love you. I love you, Hannah.
Think that's because she knew she was going to forgive him and she didn't want to do damage she couldn't undo.
I guess.
I've been there, done that.
But it was written in such a way that she didn't even acknowledge the question being asked. And that kind of threw me off. And I wrote it in all caps and I was pressing my pen into the paper really hard.
Well, I'm going to say this is sappy as hell, but I'm going to give it a 6 because I liked them and I did love that speech and I was kind of rooting for them.
I liked the first one better because it was building. Yeah. It was building the environment. This one had the environment and kind of had to do the yes and to it. And
right.
I thought the city aspect kind of went over the top at parts. It didn't really fit. However,
I also I thought Victoria was over the top, like as a villain.
Yes, she was. Yeah. She. One of the other notes I had. Where did she go to spy school? Because she had like the head draping and binoculars.
I also thought that him apologizing at the end was sweet and nice, the way we'd like it to be, but so unrealistic. Yep. You know.
But with that said, I give it a 4.5, and all of that is based on the mother's speech. And then the final note I had was this had less to do with Christmas than El Camino or even Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Right. It really didn't have anything to do with Christmas at all.
Nope. But very much a trend for used to at this point.
Yeah. So we're seeing a lot of that, but I think it's better than fruitcake.
I think so too. Fruitcake stinks.
And out.
Bye.